Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
Aaron kicked us off a few weeks ago, expanding our understanding of the Word and the concept of faith, confronting some of the limited ways that we can sometimes see and understand faith, such as faith being something that we strive to grasp and to get enough of so that we could somehow get what we need or want from God, or how sometimes we fall into the trap of putting all of our faith into faith itself instead of God. We learned how when you look deeper into this meaning of the word faith and how it is used in Scripture and how it was applied at the time of Scripture's writing, we see that this word faith can be translated just as accurately as, come on, shut me down, relational trust. Say it out loud. Relational trust. That our faith is not our grasp of something as it is as much as someone. Amen. To have faith in God is to equally have relational trust in God. It's not some abstract theological concept, but it's a deeply personal connection based on trust. And then Russell spent the last 2 weeks unpacking more of what it is to build our faith, our relational trust with God and with one another, because it's just as much about the one another's in the body of Christ as it is about our relationship with God. And then last week, who enjoyed last week with Jan and Russell? It was so good. They held space for us to reflect on what it is to build trust with God and others, and what we can do to identify and overcome some of the obstacles that we all encounter in growing in this journey of relational trust with God and with one another. This morning, however, I want to share around what it is to walk by faith. Turn to the person next to you and say, walk by faith. Walk by faith. It's such a familiar phrase and one that is loaded with meaning depending on your background or what stream or denomination of church that you have experienced in the past. But this life that we live as believers, as followers of Christ, is what Scripture calls a pilgrimage. We actually sang that this morning in our worship song, in our worship moment. It's a pilgrimage. It's a journey. And we know well here at Dayspring that receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it's not the end game, rather it's just the beginning. There is a plan and a kingdom already at work since the moment that God spoke all of this into being. And when we come to know Jesus, we step into that plan, don't we? And we take up Jesus' invitation to follow him. Yes, he comes into our lives and he comes and he's very present with us in everything that we are going through in life. But also we are taking up an invitation to go somewhere. And the invitation, follow me, it implies movement, right? We're going somewhere with him. And this movement isn't just towards a destination. It's an invitation into a whole new way of life, a whole new way of being in the world. Amen? A life lived in the way of Jesus, in relational trust with him, where I'm no longer just trusting in myself to get through this life on my own skills and my own grit and determination, but I'm learning to live my life trusting Jesus, relying on his strength and his wisdom for my life. And this is the life of faith that we are called into, the walk of faith that we're called to walk in and from every day of our lives. And this is what we're going to unpack this morning. Does that sound okay? So to help us do this though, before we jump into a bunch of scripture, I want to begin with a picture of what this life of faith, this walk of faith, or walk of relational trust with Jesus looks like. Who loves a wedding? Come on, who loves a good wedding? A bride and a groom, the gowns, the flowers, the romance, right? Yeah, and there's a few of them happening in our community at the moment, weddings. That's why we love shows like Farmer Wants a Wife. We love a good romance. I have a picture of a wedding moment for you. Do you want to see it? Here we go. Look at that. Look at us, Aaron. Fresh-faced, plump-faced, no wrinkles. No grays, in love. Aww, isn't that lovely? It's so lovely. You took that down really quickly. Can you just leave it up there for a minute? Is it because of what one of our children said to you last night? One of our kids said, well, it wasn't that photo because we were looking through a whole bunch of them. And one of our kids said, it was with Aaron and his groomsman, and he said, Dad, you guys look a little bit goofy. And one of my other children, who will remain nameless, was looking at the photos going, what filter is on these photos? Or is this just because they're old? Oh, 26 years ago. I just want you to leave that picture up there. You're so desperate to get it down. Is it because your hair's in a ponytail? It was very 90s, guys. It was a thing. 90s, hair in a ponytail, very Newcastle. Anyway, you might be thinking, oh, good grief, what has this got to do with anything that we're talking about this morning? I'd like to suggest to you today that it has a whole bunch to do with what we're talking about. Because throughout Scripture, God has used this picture here of a wedding, of a marriage, right, to help us understand the type of relationship that we are to have with Him. Our God is a God of covenant, and that's the biblical word for an unbreakable bond and promise. Right from creation in the garden, all the way through Scripture, all the way to Revelation, we get that mysterious, poetic, prophetic picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Marriage and the dynamics within this family unit, according to God's design, is used as a picture of our relationship with God and with one another. It's used as a literal, metaphorical, and prophetic picture of this life of faith, of covenant relational trust that we are called into with God and with one another. Amen? But let's tease this out a little bit further. You know, when I got married to Aaron, right there on that day, I began a journey of learning to live no longer as an individual, but living married, right? Now, I could have entered that with my individualness and my approach to being an individual person. I mean, I had a ring, I changed my name, I moved in with him, and I could have continued in that moment going on about my life separate from him, though, pursuing my own goals, doing my own thing, living completely disconnected while remaining technically married. Are you following me? But thank goodness I didn't choose to do that. We both recognized the need for this to work, for us both to flourish in this environment according to God's design. We would need an all-in approach, amen? I needed to engage all of my faculties now, all of who I am, body, spirit, soul, all of it in this new relationship. Learning about Aaron, there was lots to learn. Lots to learn. Learning and finding our common interests, right? Learning what it is to dream together, to make plans together, to set goals together. Learning what it is to celebrate and grieve together. All of these different beautiful things. Learning to build and walk through this life together in relational, covenantal trust, right? This is living faithfully in my covenant relationship with Aaron. And God's design for this covenant relationship here in my marriage is for it to mature and strengthen as we move along through life together. Are you picking up what I'm putting down this morning? Now, when it comes to faith, we often think of those heroic and memorable moments in Scripture, don't we? Those Hebrews 11 moments, David and Goliath, Daniel in the lion's den, Elijah calling down fire on the wet altar, Peter walking on the water, the apostles healing the sick, raising the dead, and seeing the multitudes saved. And these are all incredible moments of great faith. But just like my marriage to Aaron is so much more than these solitary moments of a wedding, of us having our three beautiful children and a few other things. The life and the walk of faith that these heroes that we read about in Scripture, their faith walk was so much more than just the moments that we read about in Hebrews 11. My marriage with Aaron has been forged in this life of commitment that we have lived together in between those moments. It's in the everyday. King David lived and walked a life of faith long before he walked out to face Goliath. And I'd like to suggest today that there wouldn't be great moments of faith without learning to first walk by faith. Am I right? My faith matures and strengthens as I walk it out, as I learn to live it out every single day. So how is my walk of faith? How is your walk of faith this morning? Because we need to reflect on this today and regularly, because we know and we have been learning how important faith is to my everyday and to God. I mean, it says in Hebrews 11 that it's impossible to please him without faith. And we're told in Romans 1, Hebrews 10, Habakkuk 2, how do you say it? Turn to the person next to you and say Habakkuk. I've heard that pronounced many ways. But it says here that the righteous, you and I, we are called to live and walk by faith. So what is walking by faith and how do we do that? Well, if walking by faith is more than just the moments of faith, more than that, and it's more about the walking in that covenantal relational trust with God, then number one, I've got a couple of points for you this morning. Is that good? Number one, walking by faith is continually positioning myself to engage with God. I need to be consistently engaging with him. We won't stay on this point for too long because we preach and speak a lot about this here at Dayspring. But Jan and Russell last week, they talked about the difference between a theoretical knowledge of God and an experiential knowledge of him. Aaron already read this scripture this morning, but Ephesians 1:17 says this. It says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That word know here is to know by experience. You know, we all know that there are different levels of knowing. You could say to me, Kristen, do you know the actress Meryl Streep? And I could say, yeah, I know that. What is it? The Devil Wears Prada. Great film. Yeah. But I know her. I know Meryl Streep, that actress. But who knows that is so much different than the way that I know Aaron. Knowing Meryl Streep, knowing Aaron, very, very different. And here in Ephesians, though, Paul, this is what Paul is talking about. His prayer was for the Holy Spirit to come and meet with this community of people so that they could know Jesus like he knew Jesus, knowing Jesus like the disciples knew him by and through experience. And who knows that knowing somebody like this, it's more than just a one-time, one-season kind of thing. All of us here this morning could probably think of somebody who we once knew really, really, really well. We knew all about them, we were familiar with them, but for some reason, whatever reason, over time, we don't know that person quite in the same way any longer, whether it was a change of season, people moving. Am I right? Can we all think of somebody like that in our lives? You know, I can't afford to have that happen in my marriage with Aaron. I can't afford to let our relationship drift from a place of strength to a place where we are just in more of a transactional, theoretical arrangement. For it to maintain that strength of connection, that relational trust, I need to be in a place of consistent engagement with him. Amen? Amen? Otherwise, I'm going to end up stuck in a relationship where the conversation is just, who is taking Sam to drums today and who is picking up the milk and bread? No, there is so much more and I need to engage with it. And here this morning, there'd probably be a couple of different camps that people in this room are going to find themselves in this morning. Some of us in this room are walking every day in a really deeply connected relationship with Jesus. And you know what it is to experience him and hear his voice leading and guiding you every day. And then there's going to be some of us in the room who know and have experienced Jesus often. They know what it is to hear his voice and encounter him here in worship and in scripture at home. But we struggle to maintain that on a regular basis. Our relationship with Jesus kind of looks a little bit like this, where we've got moments and seasons where we're experiencing him, but then it flattens out and it becomes again something that's a little bit more theoretical. Well, then perhaps this morning you're sitting here and you may know about God. You've begun a journey to inquire and learn about who he is and what it looks like to live for him, but you haven't experienced wholly the tangible presence of God or felt him speak to you in a really personal way. And that's okay. I'm here to encourage you this morning that if you are sitting in those second two camps, there's no condemnation this morning. But can I encourage you to position yourself to engage with God? Because He is always available and ready to engage with you. He's not hiding from you, and He doesn't prefer and favor some people over others. No, no, no. It says in Scripture, He promises to be found by all who would seek Him, every person. But we need to engage. We need to engage and put ourselves in a position to meet with Him. You know, I've shared this before, but when I was an 18-year-old girl, I was tired of just hearing and knowing about God and hearing about other people's incredible encounters with God without experiencing it for myself. And, you know, I'd actually encountered God in a really powerful way as a young girl. But as, you know, I went through high school and whatnot, my relationship with Him drifted back into more of a theoretical thing. And I remember coming to this place in my life where I determined that I was going to get back into that place and I needed to encounter Him for real. And so I determined as a young 18-year-old to spend my uni breaks in my bedroom seeking Jesus. I remember just getting really doggedly about it and driving home and closing the door and like, Jesus, I need you to meet with me. I need to know you in an experiential way. Was it awkward the first few times? It actually was. I remember like waiting for my dad to go off to work because he was a shift worker at the time and waiting, right, yep, car's gone. Went into my bedroom, closed the door. God, I need you. Like it was an awkward thing to open my mouth and to take a risk, you know, to lift my voice into the silence. But you know what? He was so faithful. He met me there. And as I persisted, I learned what it was to worship. And I learned what it was to be in His presence and to hear Him speak to me through His word. I had some of the most powerful encounters in that season of my life that marked me forever and created experiences that I could go back and return to and revisit over and over again. But I had to position myself to engage with Him. Can I encourage you this morning? Go to the quiet place. Go to the quiet place. Cry out to Him. Pray to Him. Open the Scriptures. Get yourself in church. Get yourself in a Bible study group. We talk a lot here about the grace practices, don't we? The different things that we can do to position ourselves to encounter Him. And it's not a one-time deal. To walk by faith is to consistently go back there. I need you again today, Jesus. I need to know that you are with me. Amen. This is the walk of faith. This is walking by faith, walking in daily relational trust with our God. Just like a marriage requires two people engaging in this thing, we need to be consistently engaging with Jesus. Otherwise, I'm not walking by faith, I'm walking by myself. I'm walking this life out according to Kristen, and that's, you know, I don't need that. I need to be walking this life out by faith with Jesus. Amen. Number two, walking by faith is just as much about our internal world as it is about our external world, right? Just as much about our internal world as it is about our external world. You know, the flourishing of my marriage with Aaron, walking in relational trust with him, it does involve my inner world just as much as anything that we would do externally. You know, I could be physically present with him, smiling, we could hold hands, but internally I could be disconnected, right? Or even shut off from him. But no, the thoughts and my heart posture towards him is vitally important for this relational trust to work. The thoughts I think about him, keeping my heart free of offense and keeping my heart soft towards him, guarding my thoughts and affections towards other people outside of my marriage. All of these things, really important components of my internal world that have everything to do with the quality of this relational trust that we share. Amen? And so it is with our walking by faith with the Lord. You know, in this chapter 11 of Hebrews, Hall of Fame chapter, there is a lot of mention about faith being an internal deal. And I encourage you to go through Hebrews 11 and notice the language that is used of something happening on the inside that led to the external great acts of obedience. In Hebrews 11:11, it says of Sarah that she considered. Everybody say that word, considered. She considered him faithful who had made the promise. Verse 19 says of Abraham that he considered God to be able to raise someone from the dead. That word considered can also be translated as reasoned. This is all internal activity, meaning to conclude after thinking through can also be to take an inventory. You know, so quite literally, Abraham and Sarah are internally or were internally weighing up what they knew of God, their experience of him, their understanding of him. And they landed in a place of knowing that the God who was making these promises to them was in fact faithful and worthy of all of their trust and their obedience. They considered. What are we considering? What do you consider about God? You know, God asked me this very question on Thursday morning. I woke up with a big sty in my eye. Has anybody had one of those? They're painful. So my eye was all red and swollen and sore, and I was really kind of ticked off because this was not the week that I had time to be sitting around at home with a hot compress stuck to my eye. Didn't have time for that. And I found myself not just getting frustrated about my eye, I started thinking about some of the other things in my life that were frustrating me. Have you recognized in your own life that when one thing starts to tick you off, if you dwell there, it kicks over and then all of a sudden we're in a bit of a downward spiral and we're thinking about how, you know, life is terrible and all the rest. Does anybody else be there or is that just me? But I was in this place with my thing on my eye and God interrupts my thoughts with this question. Kristen, what are you considering? What are you considering? And it's not the first time that he has asked me this question. From before our sabbatical last year, I was on my way to church early in the morning on a Thursday morning to pray with some of our intercessors. And truthfully, my mind was awash with lots of things that I was worried and concerned about. I'm driving along and I felt God speak to me just really clearly as a thought, a really clear interrupting thought. And it was, consider the birds. I knew that was God. That was, I don't think things like that. Consider the birds. Ah, yes, Lord. And as I came around the bend, I swear 20 or 30 cockatoos flew down and landed on the roundabout right in front of me, that roundabout just before on Green Road before you hit Showground Road. And I just was just like, wow, what are you saying, God? And he has repeated that question to me over and over and over again since. I find myself in different places and God will go, Kristen, consider the birds. And sure enough, I look around and there's a bird, beautiful bird nearby. And actually for about a 2-month period during sabbatical, I would come down early in the morning to pray, make the coffee, sit down, get my little blanket and whatnot. And like clockwork, it's like he was running to a schedule, this big kookaburra, wasn't it? We've got photos of him. He would come and sit on the fence looking at me every morning. God was speaking to me, consider the birds. You know, Jesus, this phrase comes from Matthew 6. And here he's speaking with his disciples and his followers about their worry and what they can do with their worry. His invitation to them was not to worry, but to come to him in relational trust with him and the Father. This was Jesus' words. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Consider the birds. And he goes on to describe the provision of the Father. And if the Father cares this much and intently for the birds of the air, how much more does he care for us? What was Jesus doing here? He's calling them to watch what was going on in here. Amen. Their internal worlds, their thoughts, what they were meditating on, which is what worry is, right? Meditating on all the what-if scenarios. Meditating. You know, this is where deep relational trust, this faith in God is forged. It's forged in the hearts and minds when we consider and meditate and refocus on the faithfulness of God in the midst of whatever it is that we're facing in life. This is walking by faith. How important is our inner world, our heart and our mind, what we think about, what we give our attention to, what we watch, what we're listening to? It all matters. What are we cultivating on the inside? Abraham and Sarah considered. And Jesus asks us to consider the faithfulness of God. Abraham and Sarah were considering the promises of God, the words that he had spoken to them. And we too are asked to do the same. And where do we find these words? In Scripture. We've got to open up. We've got to, again, it's engaging. It's positioning ourselves to engage and receive those words over and over again. I love what James says in James 1, verse 21. It says this, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Verse 25, the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. Here again, we get this picture of different levels of engagement. Just like we can know somebody and then we can know somebody, we can glance and know and look at Scripture, or we can do what this is saying here, intently look at it, receive it, engage all of my inner world completely in it, amen? Receiving it, taking it in, meditating on it, considering it so that it can work its way in and through my whole life. And it's this is the stuff that builds and our faith to the point where we can actually act in obedience when the time calls for it, amen? Because Abraham and Sarah considered and reasoned God as faithful, when the moment came to act on it, they did, because they'd already considered him faithful. So when God said, hey, do this, they were like, yeah, because I already know, I've already reasoned, I've already considered him faithful. Walking by faith is just as much about what's going on in here as it is about anything that I'm doing for God out here in my external realm, amen? Are we good? So walking by faith, I need to keep positioning myself to engage with God. And it's just as much about my internal world as it is about anything that I'm doing for him. Thirdly, number three, walking by faith, and this is an important one, walking by faith is engaging in the now of my life and not just out there somewhere in the future. I'm going to say it again. Walking by faith is engaging in the now of my life and not just somewhere off in the future. You know, the day after I married Aaron, we went off on our honeymoon, didn't we? We did. But could you imagine if I had gotten my bags and instead of going off on our honeymoon, I've said, babe, we're going to park the bags and we're going to go to the baby store because we need to start stocking up on all the baby things. That would have been a big problem, wouldn't it? Particularly because we'd already had those discussions about not doing the whole baby thing straight away. Nothing wrong with babies, nothing wrong with preparing for that maybe in the future, but that would have been the wrong moment for it. I needed to be present in the honeymoon phase. Right, babe? Right. Embracing the honeymoon season. But it's funny, but you know, we can often make the mistake of what we think it is to walk by faith as continually chasing the next big thing. Particularly if we actually do have, and when we do have, a vision from God about our future. And that is a good, good thing. But sometimes we can allow that vision to consume our thinking or to blind us to the really important things that he has called us to in the right now of our lives. You know, in Jesus' last moments with the disciples, we see a really clear picture of this here in Acts chapter 1. They ask him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Jesus is shifting their focus and their engagement from a future event to their now present assignment. Not because the future wasn't important, because it was, but it was because their now assignment was also really important. Jesus is talking about Pentecost here, the pouring out of his Spirit and the birth of the church. Really important. And so he was wanting them to be focused and engaged in the now, in their present assignment. And that's what walking by faith is for you and I. It's attending to what God has placed in my life right now. What is he? Where has he placed you right now? Who are the people that he's put in your life right now? To be attentive to that is to walk by faith. Young people, be present to your now. Sometimes, you know, talking to lots of people, and I've got young people in my house, so it's what I'm going to be like in the future and what am I going to do in the future? And that's all really, really good. But God is moving and working in your life right now. Right now, in your studies at school, at uni, wherever you are, he's forging something in you. Be faithful in your friendships. All of these things, they're building into your life for the future anyway. And all my single friends in the room, give me a wave if you're single. Or you don't want to acknowledge that. It's a lie that our single people have been sold that, you know, you're only going to be content and fulfilled once you're married. God is doing something in your life right now. You're not going to be more complete when you're married than you are right now. God is working in your life right now. Amen. We need to be present and aware of what the Lord is doing now in the present. Are you with me? You know, learning to slow down, be present and invested in the now is walking by faith. Because when you think about it, it actually takes great faith to utilize patience and restraint to remain present sometimes. Have you found that? That actually takes great faith to use patience and restraint and be attentive to what is happening, the situations in our life, the people in our life, as opposed to rushing off and dismissing people and responsibilities, flitting from one thing to the next in the chase of the bigger, better thing. Amen? Amen? All these things that we've been talking about, engaging with God, attending to my inner world, being present, it's all preparing me for the future faith moments anyway, isn't it? If we were to neglect all of what we've been talking about, when the bigger faith moment arrives, when God does present or require of us a big step of faith or an opportunity that comes our way, comes along, I'm either going to miss it because I'm in a habit of rushing off ahead and flitting from thing to thing, so I'll miss the opportunity, or I'm not going to be prepared for it because I haven't been present and allowed God to build some really key and important things into my life along the way. You know, we've often heard it preached that David learned what it was to trust God and to learn that he learned the heart of God and how to worship God, not in the Goliath moment, or not in the palace, but he learnt those things in the field shepherding his father's sheep. It's preached a lot because it's a powerful truth. Amen? Walking by faith is trusting the one who holds our times, who knows our beginning from its end, and stewarding what he's put in our lives right now. If I could have the keys player back, that would be great. Lastly, number four, walking by faith is learning to live a fully integrated life. Fully integrated. You know, walking by faith like marriage, it's an all-in thing, is it not? Those of you who are married in the room, it's an all-in thing. It would be really unhealthy if I did my marriage in a really fractured, compartmentalized kind of way, right? I act like I act married when I'm with Aaron, but when I'm not with him, I don't act married. I act single or something like that. That'd be horrifying. Red flag, right? No. The day that I said my vows and made my promise was the day that I gave my all to our commitment to one another. I act married when I'm with him and when I'm not. My faithfulness to him, my heart towards him, the way I speak of him, my commitment to him, it's hopefully seen in all areas of my life all the time. And walking by faith is the journey that we all go on, learning how to follow Jesus with all of who we are, all of the time. Not just in the big, showy, exciting moments of life, but following him faithfully in all the moments of my life. In the scene, when I'm here in community, when I'm at church, around other people, and when I'm at home by myself, when I'm in my room by myself, when I'm on the computer, when no one's watching, I'm still walking by faith. In the mundane, the boring, and even the painful moments of my life. And you know, we all tend to gravitate towards, you know, different areas of faith in our lives. Some of us love to focus on the internal aspects of our faith. We love to be in His presence and open His Word and spend time in prayer and reflection, 100%. And then there are those of us in the room who love the more, I don't know, action-orientated, platform, people-focused moments of our faith. But the lives of those who walked by faith, as we read and see in Hebrews 11, it includes all of those things. Those who took great risks and bold steps of obedience, those who cultivated deep, unwavering trust, those who saw the miraculous and incredible breakthrough, and those who died having never seen what they were believing for. But they kept believing until the very end. And Scripture declares in this chapter that these, all of them, they were approved by their faith and that the world was not worthy of them. They walked and lived the all-in life of faith. And we too this morning, that's what we're called to walk. That's what walking by faith is, to live the all-in life of faith. We're actually called to run this life of faith in this all-in way. Hebrews 12 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." Don't you love that? The pioneer and perfecter of faith. That word perfecter there, it also means finisher, completer. And there's another form of that word that we see in James 1. I loved this when in my study and my reading in this. I got so excited when I found this, but it's the same form of the word. James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete," there's that word, "not lacking anything." Here, that word complete also means perfect, but it means wholeness. And this is what I started to get really excited about, wholeness. Not fragmented parts, but becoming whole, a fully integrated life. James is saying here, look, as you persevere in this life, this walk of faith, walking by faith, even in the midst of different circumstances and hard things, keep walking, keep engaging, because your faith is being forged, amen, and made whole. Your perseverance, that commitment to keep trusting and keep walking, is making you mature and bringing about wholeness in your life. You are becoming a person who doesn't just confess faith, but your actions are beginning to match up with your confession. You know, becoming mature and whole in our faith is living, you know, a fully integrated life where we know, where what we know to be true in our spirits, it begins to make its way out into our actions and in our speech. Wholeness. Eugene Peterson defines faith this way, which I thought was really beautiful. Faith is trusting, is a trusting, obedient life on the road, the way, there's that journey. It is an obedient life, a deliberate engagement of the will, a fusion of body and spirit, visible and invisible, taking us somewhere. It's this beautiful picture of wholeness. And we see this throughout Scripture, in the explicit teaching of Scripture and the lives written about in Scripture. 1 Corinthians, right? Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, he's confronting a community who were acting and seeing incredible gifts of the Spirit being utilized, but he challenges them and he says, "You've forgotten love. It's, you know, the gifts are great, but without love, it's gaining you nothing." The whole point of spiritual gifts is to build us up and encourage us and to make us more like Jesus anyway, right? And Paul is saying, "Okay, great, you're prophesying, but are you loving? Wow, you have the faith that moves mountains, but are you kind? Are you faithful? Your faith is fragmented. It's not whole. There's a disconnect." Jesus himself, he rebukes the Pharisees for having all the external components of their faith in order, but it being completely disconnected from their inner worlds. Matthew 23, "You hypocrites, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside are full of greed and self-indulgence. One of the more powerful and beautiful accounts in Scripture of someone who knew what it was to live an integrated whole life before God was David. That's why we love his Psalms so much. He understood what this covenant relational trust with God was about. Scripture itself defines David as somebody with a heart after God. He got it. And you know, he was a man actually with a trophy cabinet full of great faith exploits for God. Was he not? He killed the bear, he killed the lion, he faced Goliath. He led Israel from victory to victory. But we see him become a broken man in Psalm 51 and the whole situation around Bathsheba. He becomes a broken man when he comes to the realization that his walk of faith had become disconnected from his inner man. Psalm 51 says this, "Surely you desire integrity in the inner self, and you teach me wisdom deep within. You do not want a sacrifice, or I would give it. You are not pleased with a burnt offering." What's he saying? All the external expressions. The sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. You will not despise a broken and humbled heart, God. You know, we can be and put on all the external behavior that would suggest we have great faith, but actually internally be far from him. Or we can confess our faith in Jesus, yet act in a way that is so far removed from anything like Jesus at all. But like David discovered, our faith must be of growing integrity, where our faith is being forged throughout our entire lives, in our thinking and our speaking, in our speaking and our actions. Amen? Walking by faith, it's not just about contending for a breakthrough or taking a leap of faith when the big opportunity comes our way. Walking by faith is bringing my whole life under the authority of Jesus as his disciple. That as I wake up every day and accept again Jesus' invitation to follow him, I follow him with my whole life, my whole self engaged in this relational, covenantal trust. And as I walk by faith, my faith is strengthened and matured and forged through every part of my being. And then when those moments of great faith come along, it's going to be just a natural, authentic and fruitful expression of the life of faith I've already been walking every day with Jesus. Amen. I want to take a moment to pause and engage as we finish this morning. I don't know if you've noticed, but we really felt that we wanted to have engagement moments at the end of this series. And so we're going to turn to just two or three people around us to share some of our thoughts about this question. With everything that we've talked about this morning, with these different areas of walking by faith, engaging with him more consistently, walking by faith in our internal world just as much as our external, being present to the now in our life and having my whole life participating in this walk of faith. Here is the question. What have I sensed this morning, God speaking to me about how I am walking by faith? And how could I move toward this in the coming week? What have I sensed God speaking to me about how I am walking by faith? And how could I move towards this in the coming week? All right, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. Off you go. All right, why don't we stand to our feet? Can we just close our eyes? Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're doing in us individually and as a community, Lord, for all that you are speaking to us about. Lord, we ask that you would help us, God. Help us to know what it is to walk by faith. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you didn't just leave us, Lord, and left us to just walk through this life believing in you. But Lord, you invite us, Lord, to step into this relational trust with you, where you come and you walk out our life with us. Lord, would you help us, Lord, to bring all of who we are into this engagement, fully present in walking in relational trust with you each and every day. Lord, forgive us, Lord, where we have made faith about other things. Lord, help us to simply come back, Lord, to what it is that you are saying about what it is to keep our eyes fixed on you and to walk every day with you. And so, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that you would even this week, Lord, show us what it is to be and to live and to walk as people of faith. And we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.